Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Mem Zayin. We have to note that we are in the middle of a discussion. As you can see, we are at number 3. The house marking that you see on the fourth line is accompanied by a number 3 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We are trying to find, based on what did Rav Misharshia say at the end of our previous shiur, that we don't accept the klolei psak, the rules of legal rulings based on arguments between two tanoim in when given certain names, we opt to paskin, to rule like one over the other. For example, if you have a machloikis between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, so we were told you will paskin like Rebbe Yehuda. Or if you have a machloikis Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda, we will paskin like Rebbe Yossi. And certainly if you have Rebbe Yossi against Rebbe Meir, we will paskin like Rebbe Yossi. So Rav Misharshia says, those rules don't apply. We don't hold from those klolim. So we continue with our series. The house facing up will be the point facing up will be an attempt to show the basis of Rav Misharshia, but then the inverted house, as it appears each time, will be a rejection of whatever attempt we are making. And when we get to the top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, we will see that the last geometric shape in this series is in fact an inverted house, forcing us to conclude that whatever we heard in the name of Rav Misharshia is simply not so. And we will see then a restatement of Rav Misharshia later on. So we continue now, Elo Meha, in the middle of the fourth line, Elo Meha. From here we see where Rav Misharshia got his idea that we don't follow these rules of psak. Tisnan, Haminiach es beso, veholach lishbois bir acheres. Someone who had a house in a courtyard, and he left his house to spend Shabbos in another city. Echod nochri veechod Yisrael, oser livnei chatzeros, divrei Rabbi Meir. The owner of the house, whether he be a Jew or a Gentile, the fact that he left and did not participate in an Eruv, that creates a prohibition on the rest of the members of the courtyard from carrying in and out of their houses to the courtyard. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Oser. Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't create a prohibition. He's by virtue of the fact that he is not in town. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nochri Oser Yisrael Eino Oser. A Gentile in this case will Aser, even though he's not in town, because he can come back. He can come back on Shabbos. He's a Gentile, so he can travel back and forth on Shabbos. However, Yisrael Einu Oser, Vipnei She'ein Derech Yisrael Lovo B'Shabbos. The Jew, when he leaves town, it's not expected that he would return on Shabbos to his house, and therefore it's as if since he is what Rashi says. He is Mesiach Daito. He removes his mind from his house. He doesn't think about his house all of Shabbos, being that he's not going to be coming back to the house. And it's as if the house, vis-a-vis that Shabbos, has no owners. Therefore, it doesn't impose a restriction on the rest of the members of the courtyard. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Afilu Heniach es Beso, Vaholach Lishbois Etzel Bito Baoiso, Hoir, Eino Oser, Shekvar, Hisiach Daito. Rabbi Shimon is very lenient and he says, even if the Jew left his house to visit his daughter in the same city, he does not impose a restriction on the rest of the members of the courtyard because of this concept of Hisiach Daito. He's not thinking about his house for that Shabbos. V'yomer Rav Chama bar Guya, Omer Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. We will rule like Rabbi Shimon in this very lenient ruling. Uman polegole, who do we see arguing on Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda, you see, amongst the other opinions in this source, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that since he's not in town, he doesn't create an issur, but if he were in town, he would impose a restriction. Rabbi Shimon says even if he is in town, his absence doesn't impose a restriction. So what do we see? We're ruling like Rabbi Shimon. But the whole Amris Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, did we not say in the list of, we'll call it legal hierarchy, that in a case when there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So you see that we're not bound by those rules. So this would be the basis of Rav Misharshia's dismissal of those klolim, those rules. The Gemara says, Umay Kushya, how does this pose a problem for the rule? Dilma Hachanami, maybe here too, like we've been answering already in our previous attempts, we've said the following, Hechod Itmar Itmar, Hechod Lo Itmar Lo Itmar. Where there is an explicit ruling to follow someone other than that which is stated in the rules, so then we will follow the explicit ruling. However, in the absence, Hecha Delo Idmar, in the absence of a formal Gemara ruling, and all you really have is a Machloikes Tanoim, you will know how to paskin by virtue of the rule. In other words, the rules have validity. So what is the basis of Rav Misharshia's dismissal of the rules? The fact that here, in the case of someone who left their house, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that's because Rav said explicitly to paskin like Rabbi Shimon. But otherwise, if you didn't have an explicit statement of how to paskin, we would fall back on the rules. Elo meha disnan, rather, Rav Misharshia saw his idea from the following. V'zehu she'omru he'oni ma'arev baraglov. This source deals with the making of an eruv tchumen, whereby one extends his Shabbos distance, how far he can walk in a particular direction beyond the basic 2,000 amos. How do you establish an eruv tchumen? So this source says that the oni, one who is impoverished, can ma'arev baraglov. That means that he goes to the place that he wants to establish as his new Shabbos location. He goes there, stands there till sunset, till sundown, till three stars appear, and then goes back home. And his new Shabbos location is from where he was standing. That's baraglov. Rabbi Meir Omer, onu ein lanu elo oni. This practice of making an eruv tchumen by your standing there, as opposed to the more common method of placing food at the location you want to establish as your new Shabbos location. So Rabbi Meir says this method of Ma'arid Braglov applies only to an Oni. Now Rashi says, Onu ein lonu shiyochol liknois shvisa baraglov below Eruv Pas. This idea of establishing an Eruv Tchum without bread is limited, elo oni, klomar. Now here Rashi does something very important. He's going beyond the translation. And he says, who is oni? Mishihu baderech v'ein imo pas. Someone who is like a poor man, namely someone who is a traveler, and he doesn't have any bread with him. So how does he establish his Shabbos location? By his positioning, by his standing there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echod oni ve'echod oshir. Rabbi Yehuda says no distinction is made. Whether it's a traveler, whether it's someone at home, lo omru ma'arvin b'pasel lo hokel lo osher shelo yetzei v'yarev baraglov. Rabbi Yehuda says that anyone can be ma'arev baraglov. The idea of the bread is only simply a leniency for someone who is at home. He is an osher in the sense that he is at home and he has all his needs. He can send an agent to place the bread for him at the desired distance away from town to establish his new shvisa. But that's a luxury. The pas is a luxury that we enable an osher to take advantage of. However, not to the exclusion of an osher being ma'arev baraglov. If he wants to trouble himself and go to that location that he wants to establish as his mokum shvisa for Shabbos, he can do that. Umasni le Rav Chiya bar Ashi l'Chiya bar Rav kamei de Rav. So Rav Chiya was teaching Rav's son this source, and he said echod oni ve'echod osher, meaning ma'arev baraglov can be done whether a person is a traveler or whether he's coming from his house. The Omer le Rav, Sayem Bonami, add, Rav says, end off or add to this, Halocha k'Rebbe Yehuda. In other words, what Chiya bar Rav was teaching was in effect Rebbe Yehuda's Shita of Echad Oni ve'Echad Asher, like we saw in the source. And Rav says, also teach my son, finish off your teaching by saying, the Halocha shall follow Rebbe Yehuda. In other words, an explicit ruling to follow Rebbe Yehuda. Now, Tarti Lomali, why do I have to have an explicit ruling like Rebbe Yehuda? In this source, who was arguing with Rebbe Yehuda? It was Rebbe Meir. The Ho'amris Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, Halocha k'Rebbe Yehuda. We already know, according to the rules, that we would paskin like Rebbe Yehuda over Rebbe Meir. So from the fact that Rav had to say explicitly, Halocha k'Rebbe Yehuda, it shows us that the rules don't exist. In other words, we can dismiss those rules. The Gemara says, Umay Kusha, how is this a challenge to the rules? Dilma Rav less lay lahani kloli. Maybe Rav, he doesn't hold from these rules of Psak. But when we were presented with the rules of Psak, how to issue a legal ruling based on names, that was taught by Reb Yochanan. So how does Rav Meshashia know to dismiss Rav Yochanan's rules? Rashi adds over here, the fact that Rav doesn't hold from these rules isn't necessarily the end of the day, because when you have a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, we will follow Rav Yochanan. This brings us to stage 5. Note that this is a rather long attempt, and that's why you see we have a long marking under the 5 in the space to the right hand of the Gemara. But a word of introduction to this section. The section that we're going to be learning contains a great amount of detail, and the truth is that when we Mirtz Hashem get to Maseches Yevamos, that's when we would spend more time dwelling on the different details here. But since we're learning Erevin and we want to understand the flow of the sukya, let us focus on the main point, and that is how we paskin in some of these cases. Now, by way of general background, a woman, once she is married, so we have to assume that she might be pregnant. And it's important for us to know at all times who the father of the child is. So in the event that a woman leaves her state of matrimony, or is her state of nisuin, we have restrictions on her as to how quickly she can enter a new state of matrimony. We are trying to, we'll say, buy time to discover whether or not she is pregnant or not. Pregnancy is established by, we'll say, changes within or at the point of 3 months. That means that if a woman who is no longer with her husband, her husband died, let's say, or divorced her. So she's not with her husband, and 3 months go by, and she doesn't experience any change in the sense of pregnancy. So she is free to remarry. That's a general point of information that is the underlying thread of the next section of Gemara. Now, who is bound by this restriction? That already becomes a machlokes. And when we speak about the woman being restricted, what do we mean when she's by the restriction? So, just another point of introduction. In halacha, there are, technically speaking, two stages of entering a state of marriage. There's something called erusin, or otherwise known as kiddushin, and then nisuin. So erusin is a situation where the couple, the man, gives something of value to the woman in exchange for her agreeing to marry him. At that point, she is considered what we call an aishas ish. She's a married woman, however, she's not living together with him as man and wife, as husband and wife. That stage is accomplished through nisuin. I'll call that a second stage that consummates the marriage. So now the Gemara. So we're going to attempt to see Rav Mesharshia's dismissal of the rules of Psak as given by Rav Yochanan through the following. Elomeha disnan. From the following Tanaic source, we see Hayavoma loy tachlos velo tisyabem, a Yavoma, a woman whose husband died leaving no children, and there's this expectation she would marry her husband's surviving brother. That is the Yavoma. So we say that she should not do chalitza nor yibum, that she shouldn't do the shoe removal ceremony which frees her, nor should she marry her brother-in-law ad shiu lo shloisha chadoshim, until 3 months passes. So we'll know whether she's pregnant or not. And if she, of course, is pregnant, so she's not subject to yibum. V'chein shar kol ha'noshim lo inosu v'lo yisarsu ad shiu lahen shloisha chadoshim. So to all other women should not enter nisuin, nor should they enter erusin until 3 months goes by since their previous state of marriage. And this applies across the boards. Echod besulos v'echod beulos, whether the woman is still a virgin or whether she has been involved with intimacy. Echod almonos ve'echod grishos, whether she is a widow or a divorcee. Echod arusos ve'echod nesuos, whether she left her previous state of matrimony as an arusa, namely she hadn't even consummated her previous marriage, or she was a nesua, a fully married woman. Always 3 months. Rabbuda Omer, Nisuos Yisarsu, Varusos Yinosu. Rabbuda says that a woman who had been a Nisua, so she is allowed, within the 3 months, she's allowed to enter Erusin with a new gentleman, because at the point of Erusin, they're not going to be living together as husband and wife, and will still have a chance to establish with certainty if she is pregnant from the first husband. V'arusa sinosu, if the woman left her previous state of matrimony from being merely an arusa, so there's no fear, there's no chashash that she's pregnant, because as an arusa, she wasn't living together with her husband as husband and wife. Therefore, yinosu, they, an arusa, whose marriage ended at leaving her in an arusa state, maybe he died or maybe he divorced her, but she was still only an arusa, so she can marry a second man even going all the way within 3 months, because she was only an arusa before this. Chutz me arusa shebihuda mitnei shelibo gaspo, with the exception of the arusa in the Yehuda province of Israel, where they are very libo gasmo, means there's a certain sense of closeness and bonding that might have taken place in the region of Yehuda. There was a practice of the oros and arusa being biyichud, and they might very well have created, they might have experienced intimacy, thereby, even though she is only an arusa, she might be pregnant. So we cannot allow her to enter a nisuin state with a new man within 3 months. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hanoshim yisarsu, chutz minho almono, mipneho ibo. Rabbi Yossi says all women can enter erusin within 3 months of their first marriage, with the exception of a case where the first marriage ended in the death of the husband, because she has to observe 30 days of mourning. The Amrinon. And the Gemara continues, Rebbe Lozer lo ol lebei midrasha. One day, Rebbe Lozer didn't go to the base medrash. Ashkeche, the Rebbe Asi, Davi Koyim, he met Rebbe Asi, was standing there. Omar le mai, omar bebei midrasha. And Rebbe Lozer asked Rebbe Asi, well, what did they say in the base medrash? After all, I wasn't there, so I missed out. Omar le, Rebbe Asi responds, Hochi omar Rebbe Yochanan. Thusly, says Rebbe Yochanan, Halocha k'Rebbe Yossi. Now, that means that it's mutter le'oreis miyad. If you go back to the source, he said that all women can enter Erusin immediately. Michlau d'yichida poligole. Are we to assume that the other opinion that argues with him was a single opinion? In Vahatanya, yes. And we will show you this Vahatanya is a support to our answer of yes, it's a Shitas Yochid that argues with Rabbi Yossi. And we have a source here, also involved with the same topic of a woman needing to wait before she enters a new state of matrimony. This is a description of a woman who was always by her father's house in another city. And Rashi says she was Redufa Lelech Lebesavia Tadira Lodur Bevesavia Beir Acheres Veino Regila Imbaila. Here's a married woman that doesn't live with her husband. So a woman like that. Then the husband died, let's say. Or Oshoi Solokas Imbaila. Or she was at odds and in anger at her husband, so creating a situation where there was probably no intimacy between them. Or her husband was an elderly individual or infirmed, or she was a sickly individual, akora, barren, zakena, aged, kitana, a minor does not bear children, va'ailunis, a woman who doesn't have the ability to bear children. Vashena Roy Lele, or she is unable to bear children for some other reason. Rashi says because she drank some kind of sterilizing medicine. Oh, Shoya Baila Choshes Asurim, or a woman whose husband had been incarcerated for a long time, and there's no suspicion that she would be pregnant. Hamapelis la'achar misas baila, or a woman who, let us say, had a miscarriage shortly after her husband died. So, if she had a miscarriage after her husband died, then we know she is not pregnant. Number one, she's not married because her husband died, and number two, the baby that she had was just miscarried. In all of these cases where there's no suspicion that the woman is pregnant, Srichin Lahamtin Shlosha Chadoshim, Divrei Rabbi Meir, she has to wait the 3 months. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir, there's a gzera, there's a rabbinic ruling that applies across the boards. Women who had been married and are no longer married must wait 3 months before they remarry. Rabbi Yossi Matir Li'ores V'Linose Miad, and Rabbi Yossi allows entering Erusin, as we saw before, women who were Nisuin can enter Erusin, or women who were merely Arusos and their husband died or divorced them from that state, they can enter Nisuin immediately. Now, Loma Li, the question here is, why did Rabbi Yochanan before have to say the halacha is like Reb Yossi. Notice where Reb Yochanan appeared in a diamond, just a number of lines up. What did we need that for? Did he not say, Vah Amris, didn't Reb Yochanan himself say, Reb Meir, Reb Yossi, Aloch Reb Yossi, when there's a machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, we paskin like Reb Yossi. So what do you see from here? You see that Reb Yochanan himself doesn't hold from that rule. And as a result of not holding from the rule, there's no automatic psak like Reb Yossi. He has to rule like Reb Yossi. Umay Kusha, once again, the Gemara says, how is this a challenge to the rule? And why should Rav Misharsha dismiss the rule? Dilma, maybe here it was necessary to have a formal psak like Reb Yossi. Dilma lafuke midirav Nachman amar Shmuel, maybe to dispel a teaching of Rav Nachman the Omar, who had said halacha k'Rabbi Meir b'gzeirosav. There's another rule that says that where Rabbi Meir imposes a gzeira, a stringency to protect halacha, we'll say a gzeira, which is a type of rabbinic ruling designed to create protection of law. We in a case where Rabbi Meir issues a gzeira, like we saw in this case, where he made an across the boards ruling that women should not marry within 3 months, we follow Rabbi Meir. So in order to dispel that rule, it was necessary for Rabbi Yochanan to issue an explicit ruling in this case to follow Reb Yossi, even though by following Reb Yossi we're going against Rabbi Meir's gezerah. But if not for the fact that you have a special rule in this case that would have made me paskin like Rabbi Meir, I wouldn't need to have Rabbi Yochanan would not have needed to rule like Reb Yossi if he were arguing with Rabbi Meir. So where does Reb Misharsha get the idea to dismiss these rules? Elo meha desanya. Rather, from the following. So there's a Tanaic source that goes till the third line from the top of Omid Beis. The general topic or the background to this source has to do with Jews being expected to maintain a certain amount of distance from idol worshippers in business dealings and other related matters, because if an idol worshipper were to, let's say, conclude a deal with a Jew and be overjoyed over clinching a deal, he'll then go to his idol and thank his idol for having helped him make the deal. And the Torah itself doesn't want Jews to cause idol worshippers to make mention of their idols, and all the more so not to go and offer expressions of gratitude toward their idols. That is by way of background. So here we have a source that has some exceptions. Desanya hoichem lirid shel nochrim. A yirid is what Rashi calls shuk. It's a fixed market day of the Gentiles, of the idol worshippers. So one can go hoichem lirid shel nochrim velochem ein behemo vavodim ushvachos potem sodas ukramim. One can buy from the idol worshippers on their market day behema or animals, avodim or slaves, and shvachos bondmaids, botim houses, sodos fields, and krumim vineyards. Rashi adds to this, why are we allowing this when, as we said before in our note, in our background note, that Jews are expected to keep a distance from business dealings with Gentile, with the idol worshippers. So why is this allowed? So Rashi says, three lines from the bottom in the middle, because by buying away from them their animals, their houses, their property, you are reducing their holdings. Inami mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Another consideration would be in order to get the properties away from the idol worshippers and get them into Jewish hands. This idea is because we're dealing with settling Eretz Yisrael, settling the land of Israel, which is something to be done by the Jewish people. So there is an allowance to go to the Yerid, as we described. V'koisev u'mala b'erkois shelahen. And one can write documents and go to their judges, even though there is a basic prohibition of appearing in front of idol worshiper judges. In this case, where it's a matter of preserving your property, you're allowed to. Mitnei shu kematzil miyodin. It's considered as if you're saving your property from them. Because if you don't confirm your sale in the idol worshiper courts, the erkos, or the courts, their courts, so the one who sold it to you can challenge the sale altogether. So in order to save your money and save your position, you can appear in their courts. Vim hoya kohen, and if the person making the deal was a kohen, and a kohen is warned against exposing himself to defilement to the dead, to what we call tumas mace. And there's a rabbinic form of tumas mace known as tumas eretz ha'amim. That means lands outside of Israel convey or impose tumah on people who go there, and a kohen who's warned against exposing himself to tumas mace is also banned from going to chutz laretz. So this source tells a chiddush that vim hoya kohen, if the person who, let's say, bought the property from the idol worshiper and he needs to go to chutz laretz to argue his position or to defend his purchase in their courts, and that involves going to chutz laretz, he's allowed to. That's vim hoya kohen metame. Metame is this defilement, the tumas mace, bechutz laretz, by going outside the land of Israel, lodun ula'arer imohen, to appear in court and argue with them in order to defend your purchase. Ukshem she metame bechutz laretz, kach metame. Now here we just skip the brackets for a minute. Kach metame bebeis hapras derabanan. Just like there's a heter to expose himself to tuma of the diaspora, the land outside of Israel, so too the kohen is allowed to expose himself to another form of tuma derabanan. It's called a beis hapras. A beis hapras is a field in which there was a grave, and the grave was dug up, and you don't know whether or not you are whether you're encountering the tuma or not. In other words, you knew where the grave was, however the grave was plowed up, so you don't know whether there is a bone, let us say, from the ground up body, whether there's a bone that's the size of a seora of barley grain that could metame you. So in general, a kohen is to stay out of a field like that, stay away from a beis hapras. Well, we skipped the brackets, let's go over this again with the brackets. We said, just like the kohen is allowed to go to chutz laretz in order to defend his deal that he, or his purchase that he made from the idol worshiper, kach metame bebeis hakvora, so too the kohen can go into a cemetery. The Gemara says, beis hakvora sakadaita, what kind of business is this? Just to preserve some finances, we're not going to allow a kohen to go into a cemetery, because a cemetery is tuma daraisahi. That's a Torah level prohibition, and for no money in the world can you compromise a Torah level prohibition. Elo bebeis hapras derabonan. So rather, what was said in this source is that the kohen, in addition to being allowed to go to chutz laretz, you can also go through a field if that's the only way to get to the court to defend your case. You can cut through a beis hapras, which creates tuma derabonan, who means on a rabbinic level. Umetame lisa isha lumay Torah. Likewise, a kohen can expose himself to tuma to go outside of Eretz Yisrael in order to find a woman to marry or to study Torah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when is there this allowance to leave Eretz Yisrael to study Torah? Shein motzei lumot, where there is no learning possibility in Eretz Yisrael. Avol motzei lumot, if he has the means of learning in the land of Israel, so then lo yitame, he's not allowed to expose himself to this tumah of Eretz Oamim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af bizman shemotzi lamod, even someone who has the means of learning can find someone to learn by in the land of Israel. Nami yitami, he is allowed to leave Israel. Lefi, the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, she'ein min hakol zircha odom lomod. That means that you might have in potential someone who could teach you in the land of Israel, but you're not going to achieve maximum success with that teacher. You will find outside of Israel someone who is more appropriate for you. So you're allowed to go. And that's what is meant by Shein min hakol zoicha odom lo. Not from everyone, not everyone is fit to teach you. In other words, some people are more fit to teach you than others. And Rashi at the top says, Ein odom zoicha lumod mikol melamdov. Yesh rav shemishnos sedur b'fiv v'shoinil tamid of derek tzora. There are rabbonim that have a very skillful way of teaching, that the information is fluent in their mouths and they know how to teach things in a concise fashion. And you might find someone like that outside of Israel, and hence Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to leave Israel to learn Torah by such a person. V'yom Rabbi Yossi ma'ase b'Yosef HaKohen sholach etzel rabo letzidon l'lmod Torah. Here's a story that Rabbi Yossi relates of a Kohen who went to Tzidon, which is outside of Israel, in order to learn Torah. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Now we've highlighted Rabbi Yochanan again with the diamond to show you that the focus of the discussion, as we saw earlier, turned to Rabbi Yochanan. He is the one that taught the rules of Psak, that if you have a machlokus, as we saw in our previous shir, between the two given Tanoim, we automatically rule like, let's say, Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Yehuda, or like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. And what do we have over here? We have Rabbi Yochanan, V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yossi. Here Rabbi Yochanan rules explicitly like Rabbi Yossi. V'lomali, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to rule explicitly like Rabbi Yossi? V'amris, but didn't you claim that Rabbi Yochanan had a rule, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, halachik Rabbi Yossi? And in this case, who's arguing with Rabbi Yossi? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Automatically, I would know to follow Rabbi Yossi. Why then is it necessary for Rabbi Yochanan to teach that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in an explicit fashion? So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan never said those rules, and that's what Rav Misharshi was trying to say. Omar Abaye, notice the inverted house. Once again, we reject this as an attempt to show the basis of Rav Misharshi's dismissal of the rules of Psak. Abaye says, "Itzterich, I need Rabbi Yochanan to rule like Rabbi Yossi, even though we have the rules. The rules of Psak are true, as Rabbi Yochanan said. So why do I need him here? I would have thought without Rabbi Yochanan's Psak here, I would have thought that the rules of Psak apply only to when a machlokesim that you find in Mishnayis, aval bebraisa emolo, but in a machlokes between the same tanoim, but in a braisa, which is a different form of Tanaic literature, there the rules of Psak don't apply. So I wouldn't have known, because here we are dealing with a braisa. Generally, in Gemara markings, we don't make distinctions between Mishnayos and Braisos other than referring to them in general as Tanaic literature. But here, we have to make that distinction. This case of leaving the land of Israel to learn Torah, and under what circumstances, it was a machlokes in a Braisa between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So without Rabbi Yochanan ruling like Rabbi Yossi, I wouldn't have known to automatically go like Rabbi Yossi. So, komash molon, therefore, it was necessary for Rabbi Yochanan to rule like Rabbi Yossi, because here we were dealing with a machlokas in a braisa. So, at this point in the Gemara, there is no basis for Rav Misharshia's dismissal of the rules of Psak. Therefore, we have a new version of what Rav Misharshia originally said. Elohochi ko'omar, thusly Rav Misharshia said, Hani kloli lav divrei hakol nidhu. The rules that Rabbi Yochanan taught are not according to everybody. Daha rav les lei Hani Klali. Rav doesn't hold from these rules. And by the way, this we saw already in the Gemara. You'll see if you use the little arrow that we have right to the side of the Gemara text, indicating to look back at Omid Aleph. So you'll see, if you go back to Omid Aleph, you'll see the arrow also to the same side of the Gemara text, indicating Omid Beis. And it's at that point that the Gemara said that Rav does not hold from those rules of Psak. So that's all that Rav Nasharshia was telling us, that the rules that Rav Yochanan was teaching are not something that everyone agrees with. We continue with the Gemara, but beforehand, we would like just to remind you that if you would like to be in touch with us, we can be reached at email address gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. There's a topic heading with a structural note combined into one note. Triangles will appear in the Gemara, and you'll see they appear in two different directions. They highlight a machlokes Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, a controversy between these two Amoroyim, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, I chepze nochri klinin shvisa. Articles owned by non-Jews, are they klinin shvisa? The term Kohen Shvisa we've used extensively throughout the Masechta, and it figures prominently when you're dealing with the Din of Tchumin. If you say that an article, a vessel, or an item is Kohen Shvisa, that means that you cannot move it more than 2,000 amos in any direction around the item where it's located. In other words, the item has its own location, and if you came to this item, let's say by virtue of having made an Eruv Tchumen, that your location is really 4,000 amas away, and you were able to get here because you made an Eruv Tchumen, you won't be able to take the chefetz, the article, all the way back with you. Of course, this whole idea of carrying things applies primarily on Yom Tov, when there is no restriction in the act of carrying. But, of course, on Yom Tov, there are the dinim of Tchumen apply. So, the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Cheftzei nochri ein koinin shvisa. That means that an article owned by a Gentile, if you happen to gain access to it, you can take the article to where you are located, even though your location is more than 2,000 amas from where the Chefze Nochri is located. Liman. The Gemara wants to know, according to which Tana did Shmuel say his point? You'll notice we have a double underlining scheme and also a numbering system to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So skim down the page. You see 1, 2, and a further ways down, a number 3. These are stages, and we've noted this under our Nosei Mivneh heading on the side. These are Shlavim, Levarer, Aliba, Deman, Omar, Shmuel, Ezdevav. According to whom, according to which Tana, did Shmuel say his rule? The Gemara. And maybe before we begin the Gemara, just a point of review. We saw a Mishnah where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri argued with the Rabbanan concerning a person who was sleeping before Shabbos set in, and he woke up after Shabbos already began. Does he gain the rights to 2,000 amos all around him, or is he restricted to 4 amos? And based on that, we wanted to explain that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that Chefzei Hefker Koinin Shvisa. Chefzei Hefker are items that are unowned. Unowned items acquire, even though there's no owner, they acquire their own location, their own domain, or their own location, their own Shabbos location, and cannot be moved beyond the 2,000 amas from where the item is found. That's it regarding Chefzei Hefker. The Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, And by disagreeing, when it comes to an article, it means that the article's location will be defined by the one who picks it up. So now, the Gemara. Ilemo l'rabbonon, if you were to think that Shmuel said his din with regard to chetzei nochri are not kina shvisa, which means that the anyone who gains possession of the chetzei nochri can take it to where he wherever he is allowed to go. So if this teaching was according to the Rabbonan Pshita, that would be obvious. Shmuel, if he's teaching something within the Tanaic opinion of the Rabbonan, and this is Shmuel's conclusion, it would be obvious. It would be too simple. I don't need Shmuel to teach me that Shitas HaRabbonan would hold that Chepsei Nochri ain't Koine Shvisa. Why not? Why is it so obvious? Hashto Chepsei Hefker Deleslu Bailim Ein Koinen Shvisa, mind you, Chepsei Hefker, which are unknown. There's no owner in the picture. And there is room to think that maybe the article on its own is Koinen Shvisa. There's no owner to deal with, so maybe the article takes on its own strength, so to speak, and where you find it, it's Koinen Shvisa. But yet the Rabbonin say, even though there is no owner in the picture, and yet the article is not Koinen Shvisa, Chefzei Hanochri Dislu Bailim, the Gentile-owned article, which has an owner. So the article follows the rules of the owner. Now an owner who's a Gentile obviously has no Shvisa. Goyim, Gentiles are not commanded in the laws of Shabbos. So Chefzei Nochri, where they have an owner, and the article will follow the rules of the owner, Mibaya, do I have to tell you that Chefzei Nochri ain't Koine Shvisa? Mind you, the owner of the thing isn't Koine Shvisa, he's a Gentile. So of course his article is not Koine Shvisa. Elo, Alibo de Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rather, Shmuel's teaching of Chefzei Nochri ain't Koine Shvisa is according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Bear in mind that we're gonna try to make a point now, but there is a third stage to this argument later on. So Shmuel is teaching according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. V'komash malon, and what Shmuel tells us, Eim adam Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri koinen shvisa, when is it that Rabbi Yochanan holds that articles are koinen shvisa? Hani mili chefzei hefker. That's when you're dealing with an unowned article, an abandoned or unowned, their hefker article, the less lehu bailim, where there's no owner interfering, so to speak, with the status or the identity of the vessel. When we say identity, it means the legal identity or the legal location of the vessel. That's when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that chafotzim are koine shvisa, because the article then becomes its own boss, so to speak. But an article owned by a Gentile, where there is an owner, lo, there Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would not say that the chafetz is koine shvisa. There it would be like the Jew who gained acquisition, who acquired it, it would go according to his tchum and not having been koine its own shvisa. Meisvei. Now, a question is raised here, and this is a long question, and we've not marked it off thusly. And basically, the question is, we're not going to be able to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would hold that the Chefzei Nochri are not Koine Shvisa, but rather Chefzei Nochri are Koine Shvisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Meisvei. Reb Shimon Lozer Omer. Now, we should note that this source has a name in it, which is Reb Shimon Lozer. However, the Gemara wants to know Reb Shimon Lozer, whatever he's teaching us is based on or according to whom. He's a later Tana, so his teaching would be along the lines of some earlier Tanaic school of thought. So what does he teach? Rav Shimon Lozer Omer, Hashoyo Kli Min Hanochri B'Yom Tov. A person borrows a vessel from a Gentile on Yom Tov, and they're from the same town. V'chein ha-mashil lo l'nochri kli me'erav yomtov, v'chziru lo b'yomtov, or someone that loaned a vessel to a Gentile before yomtov, and the article was returned to the Jew on yomtov. V'akelim v'otzor sheshofsu b'soch ha-tchum, or vessels and other storage areas that were within the tchum. Yeshlan alpayim amo l'chol ruach. These articles, all of these articles described, have their own tchum that they can be carried. They can be carried no more than 2,000 amas in all directions. Now we've dashed underlined key phrases. We have, first of all, we dash in kli min hanochri. That means you borrowed a vessel belonging to the Gentile on Yom Tov. And it says in this source that it's restricted to 2,000 amas all around. The source goes on to say, "V'nochri shehevi lo peros michutz l'tchum," a Gentile that brought fruit to the Jew from outside the tchum, from beyond 2,000 amas. Harei zeh lo yuzizum imkomon. You cannot move the fruits from their spot. In other words, these fruits were kine mekoimim outside the tchum. So we have learned earlier in the Masechta that if something comes from outside the tchum, it's locked into its immediate four amos, and that's it. Let's just go over the main point in this source. We see a Tanaic source that says that the chefsei nochri are kine shvisa, by virtue of the fact that you cannot move them more than 2,000 amas from where they were at the beginning of Shabbos. E amris bishul mokasov Rabbi Yochanan Nuri chetzei nochri kine shvisa. If you say unlike Shmuel, and use the dashed underline to compare this with what was said earlier. Here we're saying that chefsei nochri koineshvis. If you say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that chefsei nochri are koineshvisa, in other words, just like he holds by chefsei hefker koineshvisa, so too by chefsei nochri koineshvisa. Ha money, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The source we just read, which was taught by Rabbi Shimon Elazar, it would be Rabbi Shimon Elazar teaching us a point along the lines of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. However, if you're going to say that Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, holds that Chefsei Nochri are not Koine Shvisa, then Ha Moni, Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, V'lo Rabbanan, will be left with a source that has no authorship. It won't be according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, nor according to the Rabbanan. Now, why would it not be according to the Rabbanan? Well, the Rabbanan, we already saw, they hold that Chefsei Hefker are not Koine Shvisa. Chefsei Nochri, where you have an owner, and the owner has no din of Tchum, certainly would not be Koine Shvisa. And yet this source says the Chefsei Nochri are Koine Shvisa, so who? We'd have no author for it. The Oilom Kosova Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Chefsei HaNochri Koine Shvisa. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself will tell you that chefsei nochri are kone shvisa. In other words, just like chefsei hefker are kone shvisa, so too chefsei nochri are kone shvisa. Ushmuel, the omekar rabbanon, and Shmuel, who had said that chefsei nochri are not kone shvisa, he is along the lines of Shmuel saying his halacha within the shita of the rabbanon. Now we Udekoamris the Rabbanan Pshita, and we asked before, well, according to the Rabbanan, that's obvious that the Chefsei Nochri will not be Koine Shvisa. They say Chefsei Hefker not Koine Shvisa, where there's more chance of it being Koine Shvisa by virtue of the fact you don't have any owner interfering, so to speak. So the Rabbanan, in a case like that, say there's no Koine Shvisa. Certainly, in the case of Chefsei Nochri, they won't be Koine Shvisa. So why does Shmuel have to teach me this? So Mahu Detema, I might have thought, Gezera Bailim de Nochri Otu Bailim de Yisrael. Maybe the Rabbanan would say that Chefsei Nochri will be Koine Shvisa, so as not to come to make a mistake when it comes to a vessel owned by a Jew. Now, a vessel owned by a Jew definitely is Kone Shvisa. So as to prevent, this is what I might have thought, so as to prevent confusion when you're dealing with vessels having owners, maybe we will rule across the boards that all owned vessels, even if it's owned by a nochri, are koine shvisa. Ka'amashmalon, Shmuel had to tell me that chepsei nochri ain't koine shvisa according to the Rabbanon. They do not make this gezeira. For Rav Chiya bar Oven, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the inverted triangle, we already introduced it before. Chepsei nochri koine shvisa. And this you can compare with or contrast with this with Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan says they are Kohen Shvisa. Why? Gzeiro Bailim Denochri Otu Bailim De Yisrael. Like the Svora we just saw, that there is a Gzeiro made, a stringency that's imposed so as not to make a mistake when it comes to a vessel owned by a Jew, which certainly is Kohen Shvisa. It will follow the vessel's owner. The Tum will follow the vessel's owner in that case. And as a result of that, even in the case of Chetzei Nochri, they too will be Kohen Shvisa. And now the Gemara has an incident with halachic ramifications, and this incident itself keeps the Gemara occupied till the second line from the bottom. And we'll refer to this as a Maisa, as an incident, and that's why we have the long marking to show you that it lasts till the second line from the bottom. Hanol Dichri the Osu Lemavrichsa. Dichri are rams. There were rams that came to a city called Mavrichsa. Shora Lehu Rava Livne Mechuza Lemizvan Minayu. Rava allowed people from Mechuza. Mechuza was a town that was located at a distance from Mavrichsa, that you could get to it from Mechuza to Mavrichsa only if you made an Eruv Tchumen. As Rashi says, Mechuza was within 4,000 Amos of Mavrichsa. So you can have people from Mechuza that are in Mavrichsa, and we have to point out this very important point, that these rams were brought to Mavrichsa from outside the Tchum, outside more than 2,000 Amos. They came from more than 2,000 Amos from Mavrichsa. So we have to bear in mind a couple factors here. Number one, that Mechuza is within 4,000 Amos of Mavrichsa, and that rams were brought to Mavrichsa from outside the Tchum of Mavrichsa. Rava allowed the Bnei Mechuza to acquire these rams. All of this is taking place on Yom Tov, and the people from Mechuza will in effect be taking them back to their home location in Mechuza. The Gemara raises a question. Ravina asks on Rava, and it's a long question. We've marked it off thusly. Amale Ravina, le Rava, my daitoch. What is your thinking that you allow the Bnei Mechuza to take these rams back to their home in Mechuza? Are you based on the Yomar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel Chefse Nochri Ein Koinen Shvisa? Is that because the animals don't have their own Shvisa, because they're animals that were brought by these Gentiles, and they're, by virtue of the fact that they're currently owned by the Gentiles, does not restrict the animals to where they are? In other words, they don't have their own Shvisa, so people from Mechuza can take the animals back to where they came, back to Mechuza. Is that what you are based on? The Ha Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan. There is another rule of psak to be aware of, that when you have a machlokis between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan. V'yomer Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Omer Rav Yochanan, Cheftzei Nochri, Koinen Shvisa. We saw this just before, that according to Rav Yochanan, Cheftzei Nochri are Koinen Shvisa. Gzeiro Bailam de Nochri, Otu Bailam de Israel. This is the Svara we saw before, so as not to confuse this case with a case of vessels owned by a Jew, where the items there, the items, the vessels, the articles definitely have a shvisa. So we made a rule across the boards that all owned vessels are kina shvisa. And if that be the case, so how in the world can these rams be brought from Mavrichsa, being owned right before the sale, being owned by Gentiles, to a place more than 2,000 amas away from Mavrichsa, like Mechuza? Hodar Omar Rava. We have a number two over here. This is the second stage of Rava's teaching. Rava then changed his mind, so to speak, or was influenced by this, and says, Lizdavnu Livnei Mavrichsa. Let the animals be sold to the members of Mavrichsa. The city of Mavrichsa was a walled city, and the rule is that something that is brought from outside the Tchum, as was the case here, these rams were brought from outside the Tchum, an item like that has Dalit Amos. Being that Mavrichsa is a city, but it's walled, so the whole city has a din of Dalit Amos, similar to cases we've seen before of someone who was taken from where he is and put in an enclosed area, a deer or a sahar or a walled city, that they have the right to, even though they're brought from outside their tchum, they have a right to Dalit Amos. And when you're in an enclosed area, the entire enclosed area has the legal status of Dalit Amos. Toni Rebbe Chia. Before we continue in the Gemara, we should note that at the side we have a topic heading, Mayim Shebein Shnei Tchumei Shabbos. And there will be an illustration in the Pirush Chai, illustration 23, that will be of assistance. So we're describing, as we read our introductory note on the side, Mayim Shebein Shnei Tchumei Shabbos. So as you can see in the illustration 23, you have two communities, and you have a body of water that is found between these two communities. The Ir is a city, and the question is, can people from the city and the water that's within 2,000 amas of the city, can they draw water from that source? You'll ask, well, why not? What could possibly be the problem? Well, the possible problem is that the water from beyond the 2,000 amas is being drawn into your bucket, so that you're in effect taking something that came from beyond 2,000 amas to your city. And if you work with the rule that Chefsei Hefker Koinen Shvisa, so you wouldn't be allowed to bring water from beyond 2,000 amas, because they were Koinen Shvisa there, which is a place further than they can be carried. So we continue now in the Gemara. Toni Rebbe Chia. Charom Shebein Tchumei Shabbos. Rashi explains that Charom is a net, a fisherman's net, used to catch fish. And it's between two Tchumei Shabbos. In other words, it serves like a type of fence, if you will, in the water. And the issue, as we said, is an issue of, can they draw water from this source of water? Tzorech, the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem Ches. Tzorech mechitza shel barzel lahafsiko. You need a fence made of iron, as opposed to a charam, which is a net where water goes through. You need a fence of iron to block off the pool at the 2,000 amma mark before you'd be allowed to draw water. Mechayech olei Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. My time, ko mechayech. Rabbi Yosef Hanina, upon hearing this teaching, laughed. The Gemara asks, "My time will come a chayach." What was amusing about this? In order to explain this, the Gemara goes through stages, and we have on the side under the Mivneh heading, the double underline shows Gimel Shlovim Levara Lomot Sochak Mechayach Rabbi Yosef Hanina. Three stages till we can figure out what caused his amusement. Ilemo Mishum Detoni Lo Kerab Yochanan Benuri Lechumra Veihu Svira Le Karabonan Lekula. If it's because you have a source that was taught, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that says Chetzei Hefker Kainin Shvisa, which in this case results in a chumra, in a stringency. In other words, water that came from beyond the tum would have been Kainin Shvisa over there, and you cannot draw it to your town, because as far as the water is concerned, you would be carrying water in your pail that came from more than 2,000 amas away from the town. So that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, who was amused, he holds like the Rabbonon who are Mekil. What is the Rabbonon Shita? That Chefzei Hefker not Kainin Shvisa. So that until you draw the water, it doesn't matter where the water came from. So is that the reason he laughed? Umishum de Savar Lekula. Because you hold leniently. Man de Toni Lechumra Machaychala. Someone who happens to be stringent is reason for you to laugh at him. That's obviously not so. Elo mishum desanyo. Rather, what was amusing to Rabbi Yosef Hanina is based on the following. The source says, Nahoros hamoshim mayos hanoivim harei hein karagle kol odom. There's a explicit source that says that flowing rivers and live springs are like what's called ragli koloda, means the water that you draw from these is like you. In other words, it has your tum. The water in a river that's flowing obviously came from far away. In other words, if you're a Shabbos day drawing water from a river, or Yom Tov day you're drawing water from a river, that water came from way beyond the tum Shabbos, but doesn't matter because it's karagli koloda. And that being the case, so too with the source that we started at the bottom of Mem Zayim Rebeis, this Toni Reb Chiya source, Charom Shebein Tchumei Shabbos, there should be no need for any mechitza whatsoever. So that's why Rab Yossi Bar Hanina was amused. Because there's no need for any mechitza, because water, that's flowing water, is karagli kol adam. The Gemara says that's no reason to be amused. V'dilma v'mechunasim. It could be that Reb Chiya's source was mechunasim, means gathered water or stagnant water, that, and as a result of that, it could be Kainin Shvisa. And only in the case of flowing water do we say karagli kol adam. Elo, so what caused Reb Yosef Hanina to be amused at this at the source that said that you can't draw the water until you have a mechitza shel barzel? Elo mishum de katoni. It said in this source, sorich mechitza shel barzel afsiko. You need an iron gate to block off the waters. Umayishno konim delo. Why would konim, reeds, not be sufficient? The aili behumaya, because water penetrates reeds. Shel barzel nami aili behumaya. Even if you had an iron gate in the water, water would penetrate. Water would find its way from one side to the other. So you're not this, you know, the source is saying something that is actually amusing. It's not offering any solution. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma tzorach v'lo takona komar." Maybe when the source says you need a mechitza shel barzel, is just another way of saying it needs a solution, and there is no solution. So why is there anything to be amused about over here? Ela mishum. So the answer why Rabbi Yosef Hanina would laugh is because there's no need to go so far as requiring a metal or an iron gate even the flimsy fence that the source described would have been enough. Ela mishum dekalhu shikilu chachomim b'mayim. There is a leniency with regard to the rules of mechitza when it comes to water. There's no need whatsoever for a mechitza of iron, of barzel, kederevi tavla. And the idea of that we are lenient when it comes to walls in the context of water, we learn from Rabbi Tavla. The boy mine Rabbi Tavla mirav. Rabbi Tavla asked of Rav, mechitza tluya ma'u shetatir b'chur. But this is a gemara that we've seen already a few times. This is a suspended wall, a wall that starts at it's above, but it's broken at the bottom. Does it serve to enclose a churba, a ruin, so that you'd be able to carry within the ruin? Amarle, Rav answers, Ein mechitza tluya materas elo b'mayim. This idea of a suspended wall as being considered effective to close off an area is true only over water. Kal hu shekilu chachomim b'mayim. There is a leniency that the Rabbanan taught with regard to water. And it's in the case of water that we have leniencies regarding mechitzos. Therefore, there was no need for an iron gate to begin with. And that's why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina was amused. Before we close, let's just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.